Makeup cake and matching Jergens powder, both in one box.
That's what Evelyn Wyckoff, star of Broadway's hit perennial Oklahoma, says about new Jergens twin makeup. Works almost like magic to make you look twice as lovely. Brings you such a perfect matchup of skin-smoothing Jergens makeup cake and velvetized Jergens powder. But try it and see. First, to find your shade, get 10 or 25 cent sizes of Jergens powder alone. Then, for the twice as lovely look of Broadway stars, get this sensational combination package of makeup cake and matching powder. Only $1, a real $2 value. That's new Jergens twin makeup. Now to the editorial room of the Jergens Journal and Walter Winslow.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North and South America. By shortwave overseas, let's go to press. Flash, Chongqing. The onrushing Chinese army is only 175 miles from Shanghai tonight. Guam. The number of Japanese casualties in the fight for Okinawa totaled 110,000 casualties. Washington. Good news for the families of the men with the United States 5th Corps. The first Americans to arrive in the European war zones will be coming home very, very soon. After more than 3 years overseas and fighting in 5 major campaigns. San Francisco. The entire San Francisco police force has been assigned to guard the President of the United States when he arrives tomorrow night for the security conference. Washington. One of the first war criminals to be tried will be a submarine commander last named Eck, E-C-K. He is charged with ramming and machine gunning survivors in lifeboats and rafts until they were drowned. New York City. It's a baby girl for Mr. and Mrs. Raymond Page. The papa is the popular orchestra conductor. It's a baby girl for Lieutenant and Mrs. Armin Deutsch, USNR. The mother is the former Bene Venuta, the radio and stage and musical comedy star. New York City. The New York Police Department now has an accurate description of Albert Langford's killers. An artist has painted the portraits of the slayers from police description, the same technique used that helped solve the Lindbergh kidnapping. Behind the international front, Manila. Okinawa gives General MacArthur a three-way choice, and the Japanese emperor a four-way guess. Hirohito must be prepared to commit his reserves either to defend Tokyo's front yard or Shanghai's back door. General MacArthur's primary objective is not to overrun Japan, but to destroy the Japanese army. And while the vast Pacific Ocean, from Australia to Southern California, is nearly all under American-British control, the main Japanese army is not only intact, but comparatively untouched. London. Anglo-American policy on the Yalta Agreement is finally settled. All commitments will be honored, but all performances expected and demanded. Paris. The paralyzing weakness of the French international position is becoming more and more clear. France, scarcely able to hold herself together, is determined, nevertheless, upon maintaining her empire. The great affection between France and Russia has considerably and accordingly cooled. Rome, Italy. Deep discouragement is appearing among the Italian patriots. The big shot manufacturers, most of whom are really war criminals, are enjoying complete immunity from war prosecution under the protection of our military government. Washington. General Carlos Romulo and Captain David Griffin of the Marines have the best evidence yet in Technicolor movies proving the guilt of the Japanese warlords. This remarkable film in 20 minutes, ladies and gentlemen, is titled Orders from Tokyo. It reveals the Japanese atrocities and the burning of Manila. It was flown to Washington from the coast last night to show to various congressmen, senators, and the Navy Department. The Japanese atrocities in the Philippines show nuns and children after being ravaged. Attention, Mr. and Mrs. United States. Dictators always keep their dates with destiny to the tunes of 40 brass bands and 1,000 drums. But a good man, President Harry S. Truman, kept faith with thousands of dead Americans last week in a quiet and dignified act which proved that they did not die in vain. President Truman said that the Congress and not the President of the United States should select his vice president. Mr. Truman actually asked for a change of the law to take the power away from himself. It takes a decent man in a decent country to do this sort of thing. Together, it is a combination which can defeat any criminal gang in the world. Please note, ladies and gentlemen, that by this single act, the president gives full power to his opposition to appoint his possible successor. It is a grand gesture to democracy. Mr. Truman honors our system and our country, and by doing so, he honors himself. History may record that there have been greater statesmen who occupied the presidency, but there never has been a greater sportsman than Harry S. Truman. The Washington ticker. Congressman Lynch from the Bronx, New York City, was stricken with a heart attack. The expenditure of American money by the State Department of Vichy, France, and in North Africa is due for probing on Capitol Hill. Lend-lease will have strings attached to it by the House Appropriations Committee. No money for non-democracies. Republicans deserve the credit for that one. O'Dwyer, they say, has an edge on Goldstein in the race for New York mayor. But the Liberal Party, which is bucking O'Dwyer, still backs Truman. New York. Nearly 1,000 special income tax examiners are due to descend on New York City. Income tax evasions will shock the nation, and federal grand juries will shock the evaders. Washington. Brigadier General Elliot Roosevelt will soon command a bomber wing with General Doolittle over Tokyo. The only way to get such an assignment, ladies and gentlemen, is to volunteer. An important report to the nation, especially the public and the clergy of Los Angeles, California. G. Raymond Booth, the executive secretary for the Council of Civic Unity, has sent a very long letter to fellow churchmen. It concerns Gerald Lucifer Codfish Smith, his real name, by the way, the rabble-rouser. His publication, The Cross and the Flag, was once listed by our government as a tool for subversive elements after a federal grand jury had returned indictments against 33 people. Ladies and gentlemen, the Council for Civic Unity warns all members in pulpits that Gerald L. K. Smith has claimed to have behind him 1,000 California pastors. Smith also claims to be sponsored by a committee of California pastors to fight Nazi communism. Inquiry by this office, says the warning, revealed that the organized Protestant churches are unaware of the existence of such organizations and that too many people have been misled by Gerald L. K. Smith into believing that he enjoys the support he claims. I am sure, concludes the letter sent by the Council for Civic Unity, that you will want to let your congregation know that you are not a supporter of this man, Gerald Lucifer Codfish Smith, or of his program. Mr. Booth adds that they would appreciate letters of reassurance from the honored clergy of Los Angeles, disavowing any connection, quotes, with the Gerald Smith-inspired Pastors Association, end quotes. Ladies and gentlemen of Southern California and elsewhere, please send your letters to me, and I will see to it that they are relayed to the Council for Civic Unity and help debunk Gerald Lucifer Codfish Smith. Washington. As soon as the mandate for the release of the German-American Bund leaders comes down from the U.S. Supreme Court, about 18 of the 25 will be rearrested immediately. The High Court recently reversed their convictions for helping Bund members dodge the draft. These 18 Bund leaders, ladies and gentlemen, already have been denaturalized. The FBI will arrest them after the High Court frees them from their cells, and they will be classified as dangerous alien enemies. They will then be deported. Presidential warrants for their arrests have already been filed. The remaining 7 of the 25 cannot be deported because they are native-born and for other legal blah, blah, blah. And so Americans may sit back once again and enjoy the last, ha, and the longest, ha, ha, laugh. And now, Mr. Jim Bannon and company for Jergens Lotion. I'll be back in a flash.
Alice Hausman rushed home from school last Friday and found only her young brother.
Hello, Bud. Where's Mother?
At the woman's club tying up waste paper for salvage. Coming over to help?
Oh, I don't know.
Mother says salvage of waste paper is important.
I know, but I'm going to a dance tonight, Bud, and I don't want my hands to look...
Your hands? Shucks, this country needs waste paper. Anyway, Mother took along a bottle of Jergens lotion for your hands.
Of course you'll help, tying up waste paper or doing any other war job. And your hands needn't get coarse and rough if you use Jergens lotion. Women whose hands do the hardest kind of work use Jergens. Like the nurses in two big New York City hospitals. They use Jergens lotion more than 2 to 1. You see, two ingredients in Jergens lotion have special success helping even hard-used skin to lovely lady smoothness and softness. That's why many doctors prescribe them. And it's easy and nice to use. None of that oiliness, no sticky feeling. 10 cents to $1 plus tax. Just be sure and use Jergens lotion. And now back to the editorial room of the Jergens Journal and Walter Winchell.
Glasgow. The police are guarding Dr. Jan Jagodinski, the editor of the Warsaw government's newspaper in London. The Polish editor states that an attempt was made by Polish soldiers to lynch him after he had made a speech. New York City. Some time ago, a certain Sunday night news commentator and reporter was criticized for stating that some isolationist politicians were dopes. D-O-P-E-S. The other day, General Eisenhower stated publicly that an intelligent American cannot be an isolationist. In short, if you will pardon the baby talk, Eisenhower is Dwight again. Ooh, isn't that awful? And now to beat the red hand around the clock. To the Newspaper Guild, I nominate the name of the Cleveland Press and its fine reporter, Mr. Eugene Siegel, for consideration in your annual awards for exposing Joe McWilliams, alias Joe McNatty, J.V. Malone, and ex-Senator Robert R. Reynolds, whose rabble-rousing and money-collecting activities in Cleveland were such a big flop. To the F.D. Roosevelt chapter of the American Veterans Committee, New York, thanks very much for your encouragement. You war veterans can do a lot for 50 overseas ward men at the Kennedy General Hospital in Memphis. I am sending you a letter they sent me. Help these boys, please. Recommendations for the Choosy. A delightful moving picture that every family and the cook should see is called Junior Miss, a 20th Century Fox hit. It will make you all sigh a little, cry a little, and laugh your heads off. Another excellent moving picture is Warner's Rhapsody in Blue, the life and wonderful music of George Gershwin. It opens in New York Wednesday, the 27th. And that, ladies and gentlemen, winds up another Jergens Journal until next Sunday night at the very same time. Until then, and with lotions of love, I remain your New York correspondent, Walter Winchell, who is not happy at all to report that the sale of E-bonds is lagging very badly. The Japs are making it tougher for our boys. Buy E-bonds and make it easier. Good night.
During wartime, many clever women have learned to keep an extra bottle of Jergens lotion in the kitchen. It saves steps. Kitchen jobs, as you know, are literally rough on your hands because they dry the natural beautifiers out of your hand skin. But Jergens lotion helps protect your hands against this roughening because every use of Jergens supplies your skin with beauty-giving, softening moisture. The stars in Hollywood who can afford any hand care use Jergens lotion 7 to 1. Be just as smart. Always give your hands this famous Jergens lotion care. Next week, another edition of the Jergens Journal with Walter Winchell. And now be sure to remain tuned to the Woodbury Double Feature Program with Luella Parsons and Hollywood Mystery Time, which follows immediately. This is Jim Bannon speaking.